It's Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach. I'm Boomer.
And I'm the Coach.
And we are proudly presented by Pinnacle Racing. I can't stress this enough. Coach can't stress this enough. You do have time to talk with Jimmy Blair. Nationals creeping up. And you can even see Jimmy to get cast for your new boots at Nationals in Lincoln. But talk with Jimmy about all your skating needs, whether it be the boots or the wheels, the apparel. Jimmy can take care of you. And thank you so much, Jimmy Blair, for all the support and Pinnacle Racing. Find them at PinnacleRacing.com. And Coach, we have a lot to cover today.
Oh my goodness, we have Odeon right around the corner. It's like right here. If you're running down the road, you're gonna smack right into it before you know it. So guess who we have on? Kelly Springer, and we're going to talk about the track, we're going to talk about ODN this year, and we're going to talk about where we are as far as the skating community and where we're going.
And we're going to do that next on Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach. Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach is proudly presented by Pinnacle Racing. Now is the perfect time to get into a new boot from Pinnacle Racing. I've been skating and racing on Pinnacle since 2008, and for me, there is no other choice. From the fit, the durability, the performance, the customer service, nothing beats a Pinnacle. Pinnacle boots are what's on the feet of our country's top skaters, and they can be on your feet too. So here's what you want to do. Check out PinnacleRacing.com. Reach out to Jimmy Blair. You can see all the options available from stock to custom. Jimmy can even send you a casting kit, or better yet, you look for Jimmy at a race or a skate meet. And trust me, he's a plenty of those. He's going to give you and your feet the attention you deserve. Plus, Jimmy is doing some incredible things with the look of the skates. He did Transformers themed skates for me, and the possibilities are limitless for what he can do for you. I'm talking totally personalized skates. Once you're at PinnacleRacing.com and you see what he can do, I'm telling you, you're going to start drooling, okay? I already have like 5 ideas for what I want to do next. The equipment truly is important in skating. Get yourself the best. Inline boots, quad boots, cycling shoes, you name it. Jimmy Blair and Pinnacle Racing. PinnacleRacing.com. It's Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach. I'm Boomer.
And I'm the Coach.
Find us on Podomatic. You can find us on iTunes. And what you want to do if you're on iTunes and you're getting our podcast that way, just give us a quick review. You can rate us, and it really does help, like where we fall in the overall rankings. But however you access podcasts, all you have to do is search for Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach. And like you were saying, Coach, we are about ready to smack right into Outdoor Nationals, aren't we?
Yes, we are. It is right around the corner. And all these athletes that have been training for it, they're resting, they're competing hard, they're training hard, they're trying to get their diets right, they're trying to hydrate right. And all the time while they're doing that, Kelly's making sure that track is ready to go for ODN this year. So we have Kelly Springer on the line. Thanks for being here, Kelly.
How's it going, gentlemen? Good to be back with you again.
Well, good to have you back. And gosh, there was so much to cover here because, as everyone knows, and maybe you aren't aware of this, but there's actually a lot of changes to the track, which is where you're at right now, correct?
Absolutely. We've got our regular practice here in about an hour, and I was in here getting everybody ready to go.
So let's talk about that first. Let's talk about the track and some of the changes to the track, because as Coach was telling me, and from what I've seen online, there are a lot of changes this year.
There are a lot of changes that have happened over the last year, and they're all part of a long-term upgrade that we've been working on. This particular year, I had hoped that we would be able to get all the repairs done on the track and bring the Vesmarco coating and put that on the track. But as a lot of you know, we bumped into a major windstorm here in Colorado. This dome was beat with 120 mile per hour gusts. Oh. It busted up the lights on the inside. It shook it up pretty bad. So we were closed down for about a month while we were trying to fix the lights and fix some of the damage that happened during those hurricane force winds. So anyway, long story short, after they got all that done, I realized that they had really invested a lot of money into those repairs that we kind of had hoped to be able to use to upgrade the Vesmarco surface on our concrete. So we bumped that up to the next year. Hopefully we'll be able to knock that out in the next season. The USOC is very, very supportive of us. They're willing to spend some money on these upgrades.
Nice.
In addition, we've got some other sponsors that are putting in the money to cover the other half of the cost. So lots of things going good out here.
Awesome. That is so exciting to hear. So I have an idea. I have a plan for what we could do at ODN. Instead of oxygen, we can pump in helium. Would that make for some great racing?
That would change the entire atmosphere of our competition.
Yes, it would. Is that a race with a bunch of munchkins? So here's the thing. You've been running practices and you've been skating now for a year with that dome being up. And the question I have is it faster with no wind in your face, no wind at your back? Is it faster now because of that?
You know, we've had a lot of people come in and visit over the last year. Last year they took the dome down. However, people did get to skate under the dome during the wintertime. And what I'm getting back from everybody is that they really like not having all those variables while they're out here, whether it's training or racing or anything else. First skater goes, you have the same weather conditions as when the last skater goes. And that's beside the point of the fact that that your performance is completely dependent upon your performance. It's not dependent upon
right.
the sun heating up the track or the wind gust coming up right when you're rounding the corner.
Yeah.
Your performance is really, really focused on your performance.
So I've never had the privilege to be out to ODN just because of job and time off of work. I just don't have it. But I hear a lot, and I talk with a lot of athletes, you know, and like you just said, the skaters that get that race first thing in the morning when it's and the sun's not up yet and it's a little bit colder out, the track skate's way different than in the middle of the day when the sun's up at the highest point and the track heats up, and next thing you know, it's getting real slippery and greasy, and it's like super hooked up in the morning, and it's greasy in the morning or afternoon, and it's super hooked up at night. So Does this now make the track basically whatever wheels configuration you set up, that's going to work all day, or does it change?
Well, it definitely opened up the option on wheels. The last few years, you know, technology on wheels really took off, and we've had a lot of fantastic manufacturers making a lot of fantastic wheels, but the situation with our track, with the concrete, with the weather, so on and so forth, we were kind of limited. We weren't able to use the full spectrum of wheels that are available to us. What we have found is now that the dome's up, a lot more different types of wheels are working. Wheels that were a little too slick before are working out here. Wheels that were a little too rigid and brittle to skate, you know, on a hot track, they're actually doing a lot better out here when the track is more predictable.
Okay. And now, so is there air conditioning in the dome? Because I would imagine it would get super hot and muggy if you didn't have air conditioning.
You know, we've had a lot of people bring that up on various social media and stuff, and the fact is, it's not hot inside the dome. We've had up to 90-degree weather over the last few weeks, and the other day it was 90 degrees outside, and I was standing in the middle of the track with a sweatshirt on. It was not hot. It was not hot at all. The structure of the dome is that it is an air-inflated dome, kind of like a balloon.
Yeah.
So there's a constant air exchange that's going on. The entire time that you're in there, there will constantly be an air exchange. Now, they do somewhat control the temperature of the air that goes in. During the wintertime, they're not going to turn that thing up and try to keep it a balmy 70 degrees the whole time we're in there. Number one, financially, that doesn't make sense. And number two, as the athletes get going, that just is a little bit too warm.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, when we get into these summer months, when it gets really, really hot, they're not going to, you know, turn on the air conditioning and take us down to 68 degrees because we're still athletes and we're still trying to keep our muscles warm and so forth.
Right.
But it's not a problem. It's not a problem where we have to fight with the temperature to make it comfortable. People are not uncomfortable in the dome.
Okay. Okay, and then there's a double door system, correct? You got to come through one door and seal the vapor lock, and then punch the button so you can get out of the dome and into the dome, or so to speak, so that it doesn't deflate on the competition, correct?
Absolutely, and the term deflating is kind of a little bit of a misleading thing. If you open all the doors up on this thing and try to deflate this building, it's going to take about 3 or 4 days for all the pressure to actually exit, and that's if they turn off the air exchange so that the air just escapes. The pressure on the inside, when they open the doors, if you open them up and break that seal, you just get a good healthy breeze that blows you right out the building is what happens. But as far as deflating, it actually doesn't deflate, and if you were trying to deflate it, it would take many days.
Well, okay. I remember with like some of those old football stadiums mm-hmm. that had the inflatable dome, mm-hmm. there was always this, and they would say this, and it would be posted by the doors, hey, be very careful, because if you open this door, there could be some sort of high wind that sucks you right out. It was very scary at the time. You know, you're a kid, you're going to this game.
Man, that guy was in a hurry to get out of here.
Exactly. He couldn't wait to leave. I guess as I'm hearing this, and I know there's some other things that have gone on with the track, I want to get your thoughts, Kelly. Do you think that with the dome, it might equalize things, and maybe we'll see, you know, a shakeup with some of our winners coming out of Outdoor Nationals? Do you think that's going to happen?
I don't think it's really going to make that much of a difference on that aspect. Reason being is every single time we come to this track, if it's hot and sunny, everybody's skating on the same track. If it's cold and rainy, everybody's skating on the same track. If it's domed, everybody's skating on the same track. Yeah. The only way it would be a huge difference is if it was nice and comfortable for me, but you stepped out on the track and it was 20 degrees hotter. That would make it unfair. But as long as we're all on the same track and the same conditions, it's not going to make that much of a change up in the guard. I think it's just going to be more user-friendly. You know, you've had this stuff going on in ice skating for years. All of the tracks used to be outdoor ovals. And now, pretty much every preferred ice skating oval is like Salt Lake or something like that. Hmm. Now, the other ones are always fun to go to, but you know, where do the athletes prefer to race?
Yeah. So I guess what I would look at, though, I'll just use, let's just say like myself and I'll just throw Tanner Whirling under the bus. The guy's like a buck 40. And he can run into the corner, you know, screaming and stay on the bottom. And then I get running into that corner as fast as I can go at 220 pounds. I'm going to find myself pushing up the track pretty fast because I got a lot more weight on me. In the middle of the day when the wheels aren't holding, for Tanner Whirling, they're going to hold a little bit better because he's a lot lighter than me than they're going to for me. So the question would be is, does that kind of like equalize it in a sense of no one really has a true advantage of it being a really hooking up track for the power skaters versus the fast foot skaters, or a really slippery track where you got a benefit to the fast foot skaters and the slow foot skaters are struggling? Everybody's going to have the same exact track, and it's going to be pretty climate controlled for the most part.
You're correct in that, and you bring up a very good point, because everybody's technique, weight, you know, their whole center of balance, everything changes the way that centrifugal force is going to push them to the outside of the corner as they're going through. Now, you're right. When it's hot and those types of things, it actually makes that stuff a little bit more volatile. And it is an advantage that with a more predictable track that everybody, whether it's Tanner or whether it's you, when you hit that corner, the track is going to be more predictable. It's more predictable for him at his weight, and it's also more predictable for you. Times when you might have said, you know what, I'm really not going to jump into this corner that hard because I know I'm going to find myself on the rail, you might be able to risk that a little bit more and attack a little bit harder going in. But he's also got that advantage, too, because he's going to be able to attack a little more, too, because even though he's light, he was still dealing with a volatile track, too, just like you were.
Do you think when some of the skaters get out there, there's going to be, for these first couple of races, kind of a feeling out process to kind of see how things fall, what you can do in certain spots?
Oh, I'm absolutely positive. There's going to be a lot of feeling the track out a little bit right now. And again, we've had a lot of visitors over the last, let's just go back the last 6 months. The last 6 months, we've had visitors from three or four foreign countries and almost every state that our sport has skaters from. And everybody's kind of been able to get a little bit of a taste of what it feels like, whether they were here just to visit our team or whether they were here to visit for a clinic. And everybody walked in with all the question marks that I'm sure that you had in your head when we started this phone call. And everybody listening right now, they've all got the same question marks. And as people got in here with, you know, with these questions and the concerns and the what-ifs, 10 laps in, yeah, I just went to this last night, two nights ago with Andrew. Andrew got in, his first laps out there, the whole drive from the airport, he was like, well, what about this? What if this? What if that? The whole drive, we talked about it. he gets out there, he skates 10 laps. He goes, he skates 10 laps, and he's like, wow, I'm a fan of the Dome. I said, I thought you would be. So I think we're going to get a lot of that.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of people that have been, battered down with, these crazy notions about all this bizarre stuff that could happen with this thing covered. But the fact is when people get here and they roll around on it, we're all on the same track. Everybody's going to get used to it.
Yeah.
And you're going to have a few people that prefer to be outside, but I'm going to say most people are probably going to say, hey, this was pretty cool.
And you get to save your sunblock for road day.
That's right. We've got to save your sunblock for road day. And the other thing we don't have to do is we do not have to race the weather every single day.
Yeah.
You always have to show up to the track and pound out as many races as we can.
Yep.
Pound them out as fast as we can, and make sure we get done before the rain. We don't have that problem anymore.
Yeah, and now no one's going to have to worry about trying to huddle underneath a whole bunch of vendor tents to get out of the sun.
Yes, that's another good one, and we've got the other ones too. I don't know how many of you remember a few years back when we had that little mini tornado during one of the breaks.
Yeah.
That came through the track, lifted my tent off the ground.
Yes.
People were bringing me t-shirts back that were in trees at the hotel. Tanner Worley was chasing wheels from the Kato Motors booth that were rolling all over the track.
I remember that.
That was one of the craziest things I've ever seen, but luckily we will not have to deal with those kind of crazy things.
And then Kelly Coach was also saying the start and finish lines have been separated on the track as well.
They've been moved.
Yes,
that goes back to another one of the things that I had mentioned. The USOC is really trying to help us invest and make sure that we can do the best that we can for our kids, get them ready for their international competition. As you know, a couple seasons ago, we got some movement from them to let the younger kids come in. We used to have a 9 and above age bracket, and they wouldn't let the younger kids come in. Now we can run our primaries and our tiny tots out here in those divisions, and they're really trying to move forward for us. They spent money repairing our pads. You guys remember in the last couple of years, you go up and stand against the rail, and those black pads were disintegrating as you were leaning on them. They spent the money and redid the entire thing for the pads, so it's safer and looks a lot better. The other thing that they just recently did for me is they freed up a little bit of money and had all of our lines repainted. Now, first of all, that meant taking off the old lines, which was a very, very difficult thing to do. Some of the lines had been here since probably 1982. The last time that this track was probably painted legitimately was when we had the World Championships in 1993.
Wow.
So these lines have been baking on this track for decades. So
mm-hmm.
It did take a little bit of work, and they're not all the way off, and they probably won't be all the way off till we add those Marco surface. But what we did do is we went to the rule book because we say every year, CIC is our rules book. CIC is our rule book.
Right.
So the CIC rule is that the finish line must be 8 meters from the beginning of the bend. And it hasn't been for many years. Well, it is now. So,
nice.
We're just trying to make this track as perfect and realistic as we can, understanding that it's still a parabolic track and they've gone to flat banks now. I hope someday we go back to parabolic, but, that's neither here nor there. But we want to try to make this as realistic as possible so these skaters have the same distance of their field sprint before they hit the line.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be as perfect as we can.
Right.
Well, it sounds like you're well on the way to that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate the support. Thank you.
And I really think for any skater who hasn't had a chance to go visit and you're making the trek to Outdoor Nationals, hopefully you're hearing this and you're feeling, I guess, a bit reassured, knowing that, yeah, there's been a lot of questions out there in social media, but once you put your skates on and get on the track, pretty confident you're going to like how it skates.
Absolutely.
Just the fact, I'm so happy that all the athletes will not have to compete in the rain.
Yeah,
that's really a big deal right there.
That's a huge dynamic, though, because, Outdoor Nationals has always had that rain day, the delayed day, just in case. So does that change the schedule now that we got that? Does that free it up where now you can start it a day later? Or what does that just turn into basically a vacation day for people?
What it's done is it's freed up. Unfortunately, I wish it would have shortened it up a day, but it ultimately doesn't, because the only thing that we're protected from rain on is the track racing. The road racing, we're still volatile for that, 2 days that we're out there on the road racing. If it does rain those 2 days, we still may use that last rain day.
Yeah.
As far as the rain day that we used to use for track, the track rain day was always utilized to set up the road course and do road practice.
Okay.
So even though we're in no danger of needing a rain day, we still will use that, what used to be the rain day, we're still going to use that to set up the road course and let the kids have their practice time on the road before they have to race on it.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, you don't want to cut away from that. I think that's really important to have. But when you can say, okay, there's still that threat of rain for the road course, but to be on the track, no threat of rain, that is fantastic. Because I know some really top flight, top level skaters that one thing they just totally despise is skating in the rain. That's just one thing, for whatever reason, they just do not want to go and do it. And obviously it changes up how you do everything.
One thing that it's going to do for us, it's going to ensure a little bit of fair play, because I can't tell you, most of you know that, you know, I've had a few sprinters over the years, but for the most part, for every one sprinter I've produced out of my club, I probably produced five more distance guys. So distance has normally been my crew's forte. And I can't tell you how many times we've been in the middle of a points race or an elimination race on the track, and you know, you got a 15K, and all of a sudden with 12 laps to go, the race gets stopped because of rain. Well, when they restart that race, it's, you now have taken a distance race and turned it into a sprint, because all of those skaters go back out on the line together. If somebody was a half a lap up with a break, guess what? They don't get their half a lap back. Now, all of a sudden, you've taken the long race, turned it into a 12-lap sprint. And I can give example after example from whether it was, you know, Norman Kirby back in, like, that happened to him probably 98. And I believe it cost him a gold medal. And it's even happened as close as the last couple of years. So I think that we're going to see a lot more fair play, not having to risk seeing these kids start those races over because of rain.
And it just so happens that I know quite a few skaters that were out there. Gosh, what was it? Was it 2 months ago? It was back in April when you guys had the qualifying clinic, correct?
Yes, we had a great clinic out here in April, and we had a good crew from your area. You guys sent a lot of skaters.
And so, because I want to talk about that, because this is something I've always wanted to do. I've done the, you know, the qualifying clinics that we had. We had one here with Jay Ingram. Gosh, it's been a couple of years ago. But you still have to go out and actually get yourself on the track. And I didn't realize, and I guess I should have paid a little bit more attention, but I didn't realize the spring clinic until it was like, oh my gosh, it's happening right now. What are some of then, as I can plan ahead, maybe some of our other listeners can plan ahead, what are the upcoming days or just time frames for when these next clinics are going to happen?
Well, we have a handful of clinics that are usually very consistent. Our spring clinic usually falls in that late April time, and our fall clinic usually falls towards the end of September. Sometimes it ends, you know, some first couple days of October, but it's always right around that time. We've also had a new thing that we've had the last few years in August. It's a 13 and under camp, and we call it Future Team USA. I know that we have a bid in to have the time, but I'm not really sure if it's been approved yet, and it's sad that we don't get those approvals timely enough, because I'd love to be able to get in the kids registered right now, but we can't register until we know we have the approval. But my plan, I'll tell you what I'd love to do. I'd love for both of you guys to come out here and help me with the clinic. Coach, you have got to come out and assist me with a clinic out here. You'll have a blast, and you may never want to go home. Heck, do one of the podcasts out here. Let's get them out here and interview some of these kids and have a good time with everybody.
I think that's a great idea. We just got to balance the jobs, but I know I've been wanting to get out that way. Maybe this is the perfect time for us to plan some sort of a trip to not only do Skate Talk from the track, but to also participate in one of these clinics as well.
Yeah. Well, and since Kelly just put me on the spot to get out there and help him out coaching a clinic.
Yeah, like you put Jimmy Blair on the spot for A to A.
Well, since you mentioned Jimmy Blair, I do want to bring it up, Kelly, that I have heard through the grapevine that Jimmy Blair was going to be skating A to A this year possibly. So that's something to think about if you ever get a chance to get down there and watch him and root him on this year. He's going to be doing that. So
That's always a fantastic race and
to watch.
And I love watching Jimmy Blair skate. I've known him for a lot of years, and I really honestly believe I was his first sponsor when he was younger. I threw him on the Bones team when I was running the Bones team for Isaac out there at Skate One.
Yeah.
And he was one of the first guys I put on there, and that was a very powerful team. The Bones team started out with a couple names you guys know, Heather Richardson. Was
not
on
too
that
bad
Bones
of a skater.
I think she was an elementary girl at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Now an Olympian.
Okay.
In addition, the ever-famous Michael Cheek. I think that was the first sponsored uniform he ever wore, was when we put him in the Bones uniform back then.
Yeah.
Jimmy Blair, a whole bunch of them. I mean, what a great group we had on that Bones team, and they all turned out to be wonderful, successful athletes.
Yeah, that is a hardcore group right there.
That was a hardcore group. And again, going back to A to A, I really believe that Jimmy should skate that for his past sponsor that put him in a uniform for the first time with that organization.
You know, Kelly, so, Coach doesn't miss an episode where he throws that in for Jimmy. Hey, we're going to go ahead and sign you up for A to A. It's going to be the 87-mile distance, not the short one. No, you're going the long distance.
Yeah, that's quite an event. I had one skater that walked up somebody's little dirt path and sat down on their porch and grabbed a bagel and sat there and ate and waited for the truck to come get him. He had no desire to finish that race.
There was I love telling Bob Harwell stories, because Bob Harwell is a nut. He skates out of Indianapolis, and one year, because he goes down and does 8A every year, he just was cruising along, and he told us this after the fact. And he just decided to stop, and he laid down in some guy's driveway, took his skates off, and just chilled in this guy's driveway until he wanted to go on again. He just relaxed. And then another story, and I can't remember the lady, but she was out of Detroit. And if you've been down to Athens to Atlanta, you're never like out in the middle of nowhere. There's always something out there, especially with the Atlanta sprawl.
Yeah.
All right. So she's out there, and she got hungry. She didn't bring enough food, apparently, and she skated into a convenience store and got a hot dog. That's what you do in that event. You know?
So when is the next clinic, Kelly, that you're going to be at?
If we do the clinic in August for the 13 and under, I'm sure that I'll be here. I don't know who the leaders are. I like having other coaches come from around. Mm-hmm. I know I'm convenient because I'm here, but you know, these clinics here in Colorado, they don't need to be Kelly Springer clinics. They need to be clinics from everybody across the country. We've got so many fantastic coaches that you know need to bring that information out here. I'd love to have more come out. So I don't know who the leader is going to be, but I'm sure I'll be here. Next one after the August clinic, I know will be at the end of September. The end of September fall clinics are always a lot of fun. They're cool because it allows us to get into that first phase of the year where we're not, yes, we qualify people so they can skate outdoor nationals, but we don't spend the entire clinic on going fast. We spend that clinic on the base technical work that will jump you from a good skater to a great skater just by making a couple of small changes.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the fall clinics for that purpose, because that's where you really see the most serious improvement from the athletes is when you see those little lights turn on in their head when they finally got it for the first time. A lot of times their coaches at home have been telling them the exact same thing, but we just say it in a little bit different way, or a little bit different word, I'll have my kids come to these clinics too, and I tell them, you don't come to me during these clinics. Go talk to the other coaches. You guys have me 365 days a year. Go talk to Gypsy. Go talk to Renee. Go talk to somebody else. And I see the same thing happen. Things I've been telling them for a year, all of a sudden, Renee will say it in a little bit different word, the light pops on.
We tune Coach out after a while.
Huh?
Exactly. And he tunes me out as well.
So what's the date in September? Do you have an official date?
I don't have the calendar in front of me, but I absolutely will find out, and I'll shoot you over a text message so you know.
Yeah, get with me, because
and I'll help you guys out. You know, I'll help you out and make some plans out here, so we make sure it's convenient and fast and easy, and you don't have to quit your job to do it.
Awesome. Well, I will do my best to try to get out there, and I've been wanting to get out there anyway, so I really feel like I need to, and maybe I can come out there with a couple of my athletes as well, and be a part of a clinic and be able to watch my skaters skate on that track. So I'm going to do my best to do that as well.
Yeah, you've got to watch Christian skate on that track too, you know?
I do. I mean, he's been out there I don't know how many times, and I've yet to be able to go and watch him. So I've only got to actually watch him skate as far as tracks and whatnot one time, and that was actually in Argentina of all the places. I can't make it to Colorado, but I made it to Argentina. The plane were cheaper. And the steaks were great.
isn't that sad? Isn't that sad? You can get to Argentina cheaper than Colorado.
Yes, it is sad. So, but no, I'll do my best to get out there, Kelly, because you're right. I mean, I do need to get out there, and I need to add that. I need to add that to my thought process as well. And it's a whole different process when you're actually skating on the track versus skating, you know, indoors or even skating out on the road. So I need to get down there so I can do some
learning
as well.
On another note, too, getting back to that price thing, I actually had a skater not long ago from that Michigan area out there. He called me up and he said, "Hey, you got prices this weekend?" I said, "Yeah, absolutely." He said, "I just found a Frontier flight, $29 out, $29 home." So he flew out, skated Friday, Saturday, Sunday, flew back home, $29 out, $29 back.
Wow. I need to start checking the Detroit airport prices because we can make it from where we're at. We can get to the Detroit airport in 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
2 hours, well, hour and a half of coach drives. So that's something to consider
that's
right
there.
Well, that's because I'm in a van. Well, yeah, coach has a lead foot and it runs in the family, as we found out. I think looking at that, not just limiting it to like our local airport, but looking around and saying, okay, you know, we can partner up. We got a couple people going. We carpool up to the airport. Because for that kind of cost, to be able to get out there and get a weekend of that training or to maybe find that cost to get out there for one of those clinics, that is amazing.
It is. That's a great price.
I'm going to go start looking at Priceline and Expedia here in a little bit, you know, see what I can come up with.
Nice. So what do you got planned for the rest of the day, Mr. Springer?
Well, I've got kids starting to roll into the track right now. We're probably third day in the downward part of the taper here before Outdoor Nationals. Mm-hmm. So we'll be running about 70% of our norm today. Mm-hmm. Practice going on from 6:30 to 8:30. Boy, we've got such a mix out here. We've got youngest girl on the track is 3 years old. The oldest lady on the track comes out usually like 63. And everywhere in between.
Yes.
I had a parent come up to me the other day, and this is one of the coolest things I've ever heard. She said, "You know what?" She goes, I've been with you here for like 2 years now, and I never noticed it till today, but my daughter has never been on the track that there wasn't an Olympian or a world team skater with her on the track since you moved back to Colorado."
Isn't that amazing?
And what kind of mentorship is that when you know that every time you come to the track, your daughter is being guided not just by coaching, but also by mentors like these Olympians, these world team members that we have come out here and visit. It's awesome. It's incredible.
Yeah. I have a lot of times an athlete will say, Hey, coach, have you ever thought about getting, be a new skater and they talk at meets and stuff and they hear stuff and they'll say, "Hey coach, have you ever thought about like getting a world team member to come in and do a clinic?" And I go, "Christians that practice 3 days a week.
Every day."
Maybe you should just pay him $3,000 and there you go.
I don't want to put that idea in his head or else he's going to come up to me at the next practice and be like, "Hey, where's my money?
Hey, where's my 25-37?
I skated those last laps with you and helped you out. Give me some cash."
Well, Kelly,
yeah, that's awesome.
As you know, time goes way too fast and I'm super excited and I want to thank you personally because I know you've been working tirelessly to ensure that we have the best Outdoor Nationals possible and try to keep the Colorado Springs moving as well as the sport of speed skating. So I want to thank you because I don't think that oftentimes people at the top and people that are in committees and whatnot, I don't think that people either know they're there or they don't take the time to learn that they're there and give the true appreciation to those people. So I want to thank you for all of your work, all your efforts over the years, and especially this last year where you've probably worked harder than I've ever heard or seen you working for the sport. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. We're lucky right now. We got a very good team of a lot of great people in this country, and it's always good to get the thank yous, and I do appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, we really do appreciate everything you've done and just hearing about all these improvements over the last year and going back further than that for the track and then what we're going to see moving ahead. It's going to be great for all the skaters. If you've not been there and you are maybe going to Outdoor Nationals here soon, I think you're really going to, based on what we heard from Kelly, I think you're really going to like what you see when you get there.
Yeah, it's a great experience, but it sounds like it's going to be an even better experience this year.
Exactly. So. Kelly, thank you so much. We'll have to get you back, and we will get those dates from you for all the upcoming clinics, and we'll make sure we talk about that as well. It's Skate Talk with Boomer and the Coach. I'm Boomer.
And I'm the Coach.
Skate fast.
And turn left.